Recognition, willingness, renewal. Say recognition, willingness, renewal. Now this message today, the devotional, the book is all about renewal. And that we as a church, as a people need renewal. We need reviving. We need for God to help us to draw closer to Him. All the problems that we face as people and challenges we face as a church, it just comes down to one thing, that as we seek the Lord and follow His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things are added to us. The Bible says that we become willing in the day of God's power. So I'm trusting God. Whatever we need, listen, whatever God requires, He provides. Say, whatever God requires, He provides. Amen. Romans chapter 12. And let's just take the one verse here. And this is when you get into the when you get the book, you'll see the whole book opens with this text. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are going to allow the Lord to transform us. But it happens by renewing the mind. It happens by letting God take hold of the part of us that makes decisions, the part of us that makes choices, the part of us that thinks and feels. Even though spiritually we're all in the right place, I mean, we're saved, we're born again, we got life. But until we are transformed, people around us can't see that life. You know, everything about yourself that frustrates you, about yourself and myself, it comes down to a misalignment in how I think and feel and how I let myself make choices that don't align with what God put in my heart. And so I want to today help us to begin this process of renewal. And then on Thursday, we'll begin the devotional. You'll get the PDF by email. If you signed up, you'll get the PDF on Tuesday. And if you don't, if you can't get online, you can't get digital documents, we'll have some copies on Wednesday. Some hard copies. Any hard copy folks in here? Anybody here? Got to have the hard copy. Okay. Okay. See, only two or three people. So I'm telling you, times are changing, y'all. That's why we killed off. We're killing off the CDs. 8-track's been gone for a long time. The LPs and all that. It's a digital age, y'all. But we do have mercy and grace. We'll break you. We'll break off a printout for some people. And of course, you can get the Kindle version will be out. I think I said 28th. Actually, it should be Tuesday, 29th. Tuesday, the Kindle version, and the book will be out in 2 weeks. All right. Paul said that we're transformed by what? By what? The renewing of the mind. The word renew, it means this: to make effective for an additional period. Of course, renew like in renewing a policy or something in that sense. It also means to reestablish. It means to restore to a former state, to make new or as if new again. To begin something again, especially with more force or enthusiasm. I like that one. To begin something again, especially with more force. We've all had starts and stops. We've all committed ourselves to God in some way. And we start and we kind of slow down. Well, let's renew. Let's, you know, it's okay to come short. Just don't stop trying. Don't stop reaching for God. And the word also means to make new spiritually. Let me give you another definition of renew. This is kind of a little grammar lesson here. Renew is something called a transitive verb. Say a transitive verb. Transitive. So we're in school here for about 5 minutes. We're in school. We're in class. Okay. As opposed to an intransitive verb. Now, transitive verb is a verb. Verbs are action words, right? All right. But a transitive verb is an action word with an object to receive the action. So when we say renew the mind, The transitive, the word renew is a verb, right? And the object is what? The mind. Now, some verbs are intransitive. For example, if I said to you that huffing and puffing, we arrived only seconds to spare. Huffing and puffing is a verb. There's no object. Right? Even I arrived. Now, huffing and puffing, we arrived with seconds to spare. We barely made it. That's intransitive. Now, my point is this. The word renew and the verb renew is so powerful because we're not just taking the word and going to just dice and slice and dice what the word means. We're going to apply the word. We're going to apply that word renew to our minds. Amen? Paul said we're transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. And so just to make that word more meaningful, it's a transitive verb. You learn, go tell somebody, you know, work tomorrow. I know I got a transitive verb. I learned church. Yeah, I hope you learned more than the transitive verb. I hope you learned to do renewal, to let renew do what God designed it to do. Sometimes people, you know, we say, praise the Lord. Folks say, well, praise the Lord. I'm like, well, praise him then. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. As in, no, praise the Lord. We are so comfortable with saying things that put ourselves we posture in a sense, but God wants us to let that word work in us. And so we're going to renew our minds. Amen, church? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last time I spoke, we used this text in teaching about the manifold grace of God. We're going to stay with grace. Grace never goes away. You believe that? In fact, our theme for our anniversary is grace to grace on next Sunday. It's going to be another great Sunday. So, you know, thank God for these next 2 weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 says, Paul said, for I am the least of apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Say this, say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, I don't like me a whole lot. Well, that's the wrong part of you you're looking at. See, part of renewal is when you renew, let's say, for example, some furniture or renew a house. When you do renewal, you don't just paint over and gloss over what's already there. Real renewal and restoration requires stripping off the layers of old stuff. You know, sometimes, you know, you see these old cars. My dad and I went to this exhibit of old cars at the art museum, old classic cars. I mean, really high-end concept cars. And some made production, most did not. But listen, a lot of these old cars, when you see them the way they were really designed, they're amazing. What's bad is you see cars today, they're all painted over, they got big old fat wheels, they got this, they're all junked up. You know, they just all, we're calling it, they're all pimped. They pimped the ride, you know what I'm saying? And so the old car looks stupid, all right? But when you see it the way it was designed by the designer, it's like, oh man, this is amazing. I mean, 30, 40 years ago, it's a beautiful car. Well, restoration and renewal says there's something beautiful in me that I don't like what I see sometimes, but that's not God made this. I got to get to the level where I'm getting to what God designed for me. And guess what? Sometimes we've never seen that because, you know, in a masterpiece mindset series, we taught like a painting, some works of art in museums, they've had to go and restore it, meaning that over the years, layers of dirt have, come onto the surface of the painting. Or, believe this or not, sometime other artists come on and paint on top of what the master painted, trying to improve it. And so the restorationists now have the means and can scan and use x-ray, whatever, and see Where is the authentic layer of this painting? And in some cases, actually go in and they'll remove the superficial layers, the layers added by the folk who were not the artist and get that thing down to the original art, the original colors. And when you see artwork restored, it's an amazing sight. It's as if you saw it when they painted it wherever, 100 years ago or more. I'm suggesting to us that you know, sometime we grew up, and from the first years of our life, we were painted over. Sometime with abuse, sometime with just, you know, sometime some parents just haven't understood how to raise a child and put the wrong things in their mind. You know, some kids have never seen themselves the way God made them. We have this rash of violence going on today, sad, sickening things happening in our city today, and people perpetrating crime. And you have to know that whoever did the crime, killed somebody, whatever it was, that could not be the person God designed. That person became that way for lots of reasons, not the least of which is bad environments, bad influences. You know, sometimes it's the television programming. Who knows what it is? A whole lot of factors begin to, like a painting, it begins to paint over the original design of God. And even for us who are believers today, and most of us are pretty well adjusted. Come on. Amen. I mean, some of y'all are really crazy, but most of us here are pretty well adjusted. So come on now. Some of us look crazy every now and then. Say amen. Amen. It happens. But listen, see, even that, even though we're 90%, 99% like, okay, that 1% there, God wants that too. He wants us, he wants to renew us. Say renew.
Renew.
Somebody shout renew.
Renew.
I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not this craziness. I am what I am in terms of God's intended purpose for me. Paul wasn't saying that whatever I'm doing is by the grace. Oh, no. No, no. The best of me, that's the grace of God. There's a chapter in the book, one of the lessons in the book is titled, The Best Version, Be the Best Version of Yourself. Think about that. Be the best version of yourself. Because sometimes we don't present the best version of ourselves. So Paul said, I am what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. He says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. God didn't waste any time. He didn't waste any grace on me. Is God's resources kind of being wasted? Are you not taking advantage of what God has given you? Are you not tapping into what God has provided to you? Amen, somebody? I mean, listen, there's no shame, there's no pride in receiving what belongs to you. In fact, it's kind of unwise not to. When I go to these resorts, wife and I, we have vacation sometime, go to these resorts, and the thing is like all-inclusive. It means you go everywhere in there, and they got like 5 pools, 3 pools. I'm going to all of them. I'm going to jump in that one and then go over and jump in the other one next day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to act like I know I have all three, but I shouldn't use all three. What's wrong with you? They got like 3-4 restaurants in there. You're there for 4 or 5 days. Hit them all. Hit every one of them. You know what I'm saying? You know, lay out on the beach. I mean, so what's up with folk who think it's humility to not receive what God has designed for you? I'm talking about being greedy. I'm talking about not being greedy, but being, you know, when it comes to the grace of God, you can't have too much grace. You can't receive too much of what God has for you. So the first step in renewal is recognition. Say recognition. I'm giving you three words: recognition, willingness, and renewal. So first, recognize that you are a masterpiece of God. I've taught you that for weeks and weeks in the spring. You are God's masterpiece. A masterpiece is an artist's best work, a craftsman's best work. And we're made in God's image and likeness. That makes you his best work. And so that grace toward you, let God have his way. Amen. Say, God, have your way in my life. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says this. It says, I'll read it to you. Paul said, and God's able, watch this, he's able to make all grace abound toward you. Say, he's able.
He's able.
To make all grace abound toward you. And it says this, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Love that statement. Powerful statement. Telling you what God wants for you. And part of your renewal is that what God is able to do, let God do. Because when it says he's able, it didn't mean he would. It didn't mean it's happening. It means he's able to. So then if God says, okay, I'm able, then it's for you to get in a position to receive it. You don't make it happen, but just get to the place where God can make it happen. I believe that these devotional lessons are one of the ways that he'll get this grace into your life. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. And one way he'll do it is your devotional time. You believe this? And it says that you always having all sufficiency. Not sometime or being broke half the month. Come on, somebody broke down half the year. You know, being broke, you know, listen, y'all, not having money and being in poverty are not the same thing. Because if that was true, we in poverty from time to time. All right. But no, see, poverty is in your mind. Poverty is a mentality. But that not having money is a state of lack, a temporary place. You don't have enough for the moment. But you don't consider yourself to be impoverished. The point is that when you understand how grace is operating, you always have all sufficiency in all things. You have an abundance for every good work. So God, he just gives you what you need to do what he wants you to do. Again, what God requires, he provides. You ought to believe that more than you believe it. You really should believe that. So recognition. Let me give you another story now. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 11. Here's an interesting story. Kind of a tragic story, but it had a good outcome. Old Testament, 1 Samuel. And here is, I'm giving a moral to the story up front here. That sometimes people are so desperate to fit in and to avoid a conflict that they give up too much. You want in on something so bad that you give up too much sometimes. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 11, here again, recognizing the need. Verse 1, then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we'll serve you. Now, what happens here is the Ammonite, this Nahash is coming to attack the people of God. All right, it's a siege. It's an attack on the way here. They see it coming. And so Jabesh said, let's make a covenant. Let's make a treaty, an agreement. And we will serve you. In other words, we don't want to fight. We don't want to stand up against nothing. It's too hard. So let's just make an agreement and we'll serve you. Nahash said, okay, we can do that. Here's a condition. Verse 2. On this condition, I make a covenant with you that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on Israel. So then if I can put out the right eye of all of you folks, then yeah, you can be with us. We won't put no more pressure on you. Now, say, well, Pastor, that can't happen today. Well, I beg to differ. The next time you see a spiritually one-eyed Christian, you know it already happened. Now, but how's it look like? A one-eyed Christian to somebody, don't make me describe this now. I'll just say this. It's somebody who's compromising the word of God. Compromise the word of God. All right? I mean, got the title Christian, but ain't no evidence to convict them. You know what I'm talking about? I don't mean just works and law. I mean just grace, obedience to grace. Now, see, what happens is if we make a deal for convenience, sometimes you give up too much. And so what happened here, this story goes on, you read the whole chapter, and Now, you know, that was a condition. I tell you something, the devil, let me tell you something about the devil. The devil don't care about you. He'll never help you. Even when the devil pretends like he's going to help you, he's going to put you, he's going to get something. He's going to get something out of you. It's almost like, you know, people in the world, you know, around here today, you know, this little good deal come along. I got a deal. I got this deal. What kind of deal you got? On some property or some business deal, some get rich scheme. All I got to do is just send an email. All I got to do is send an email. And little do you know, a little email was permission for them to mail you stuff. It's called phishing. Say phishing. It's P-H-I. It's called phishing scheme. Sometimes the point is, listen, if you want something too much, you might give up too much to get it. And so the Bible here says, this is what Nahash said, and word got back to Saul. Now Saul, this time, Saul was a kind of a messed up kind of king and leader. But on this, at least he stepped up and he helped the people. And I mean, he did the right thing in this instance. All right. But cut to the chase. But here's what happened. This whole problem revealed a need. My point to you is, in our lives, sometimes these things happen. Not this extreme. No one's taking your eye out. But it's like you are giving up something. You're giving up too much for what you're getting. And it points up a need. And watch what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 14. After they got past this ordeal, it said, verse 14, 1 Samuel 11, it says, "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom.'" Say, "Renew the kingdom." See, the thing is, when Christians go to that one-eyed thing and all this compromise, they got a kingdom problem. It's not just a problem of one thing. It's that the whole foundation needs to be strengthened. We got to return to our foundation. We got to get back into prayer and devotion and the word of God. Amen, somebody? Amen. Renew the kingdom. The kingdom of God, Paul said, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God's kingdom governs our behavior. Though we are citizens of the USA and respect the righteous laws, we have another set of spiritual laws that govern us called kingdom of God. But when we began, you know, wanting in on too much stuff, we got to give up too much. I almost went to the store and bought an eye patch. My plan was to walk up here with an eye patch on, you know, and just kind of illustrate one eye, you know. But you can imagine that, right? And, you know, now thank God for two eyes, because you could operate with one. But, boy, two is way better. Two eyes, obviously, you know. But sometimes we got one-eyed Christians. And they know when they gave the eye up. They know what they did. Now, I'm not saying it to feel condemned. You just point, recognize it's time to renew the kingdom. Say, time to renew the kingdom. So our devotional is a big part of that. It is. It's a big part of that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 5, again, verse 15, 1 Samuel 11, 15. "And they all went to Gilgal." Now, why Gilgal? Because Gilgal was the first place in Israel's history, the first place where they were tested in a very strong way. They were coming across the wilderness. They got across, and there was Jericho beyond. But his one last stop was a place called Gilgal. And that's when Joshua went out there and he saw this man with a sword drawn. And a man said, who are you with? Whose side you on? Oh, man, that's a deep moment, because here's the next and future leader of the people, Israel, being tested on his first official day. And this angelic thing, creature says, you know, who are you with? Whose side you on? And Joshua got down and said, I'm on the Lord's side. I serve God. I'm on the, he had the right answer. All right. And, you know, we know he did because his head stayed on his body. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, God was serious about that. I can't have you taking the people and you don't know who the leader is. The leader is God. You're the leader under the leader. You're the, I'm the under shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. I'm a shepherd. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened? So when Shemaiah said, let's go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom. That's where it all began for them. That's where they had the great lesson of following God, getting back to basics and following the Lord. And so it said here, verse 15, they all went to Gilgal in a solemn assembly or in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, and they made Saul king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. Praise God. It was the right thing. I mean, Saul had a bad era there, but he did something good here. The point is, they recognized this whole thing with giving up too much, you know, to have some peace. That was just emblematic of a larger problem that they went to Gilgal to renew kingdom to correct the problem. You follow me? You know, for example, here it is. I had my car serviced recently. I was having a little vibration. When I would brake, the front would shake a little bit, you know. So I recognized, you know, the warped rotors in the front. I knew that much myself. So I go to the brake shop, and those guys said, well, you need rear brakes. I'm like, that don't sound right, but all right. Now, they were, in fact, worn down. I was aware the rear brakes needed some work, too. I didn't come there for that. They also said, you need tires, too. I said, dude, would you focus here for a minute on what I came here for? That happens a lot, you know. So bottom line, I waited, got the thing fixed. I got back in the car and had the same vibration in the front. Same problem. I had the same problem after I left than when I got there. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't. I said, did you drive the car? No, we just didn't see a problem. You didn't. You can't see this. Don't you know that? Then he said, well, I said, what's up with it? He said, well, we had an inexperienced guy. I said, you got the junior varsity? Welcome to my car. That's why I said, you got the junior varsity on my car. Oh no, we were right there by him. So I had a kingdom problem. You know what I'm saying? I got a kingdom issue. This is not about the rear brake, the front. I got the wrong people. I went to the wrong place. You follow me? And then check this out. So then they turned the rotor in the front. They got it all smoothed out. Everything was good. And I checked the invoice, and there was an $80 lifetime insurance policy, lifetime insurance, whatever, on the brakes. And I didn't ask for that. I said, dude, what's this? Well, we told you. You didn't know. No, you didn't tell me about the $80 lifetime. Well, no life. It's brakes. You know, lifetime. It's a car. Nothing about a car is lifetime. It's just some other profit, right? And so he put that thing, he slid that in there. And then tell me, we told you about it. I said, now you're lying to me. First of all, you didn't fix what I bought the car to be fixed. Second, you got junior varsity. Third, you're lying about, I wasn't ranting and raving. I was real calm and dignified, and I really was. My point is, I'm telling you, you think your problem is what you see. It's a kingdom thing. The whole thing is it needs to be corrected. We got a foundational issue here going on. I should have went to where I usually go. I really should have. I even thought that you shouldn't go here. I thought, yeah, but they got Starbucks across the street, and I can drink coffee. And they'll call me when it's done. Like, I don't want to sit in the waiting room with this other place. Yeah, all that. So anyway. Now, illustration, hope you get the point. This is, you know, kind of a strange way of showing you that recognizing the problem, we sometimes look at the little small issues. We got to go to the big issue, which is the kingdom of God. So when we say renewal, we're talking about renewing our whole life in the purpose and will of God, in the prayer and devotions and reading of scripture and so forth. I got to move on here because I'm already up against my time. The second word is willingness. Say willingness. And that was the word, by the way, to begin that text, because when Samuel called for the people to go to Gilgal, they were willing to go. And this thing of willingness is so important and so vital that over in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was dealing with a situation of helping relieve a church in their time of need, or a whole body of Christians, not just one congregation, he sent letters out. And the Bible says that one group of people, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Macedonians responded to Paul's appeal. But I want you to notice what it says about their response. This will help you. I've taught it before, and so hear it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So Paul, you know, to show you how important their response was, he put this in his letter, which is now scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in a deep poverty, in the deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear them witness that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they were freely what? Willing. Oh man, that's a whole lesson by itself. I may come back around to that next time, but willingness. Willingness opens you up to possibilities that you could never receive. I mean, obviously, if you aren't willing, you can't go anywhere. You can't go one more step into a solution if you're unwilling to trust God to go there with him. But the Bible here says that these folk, even though they had a great trial of affliction and they were experiencing lack and poverty in that sense, Paul said, but yet their liberality, their willingness made them, they were, even though they didn't have much, they were going to do what they could. Amen? I tell you, this is true today, that we've had speakers in this church over the years. We've had speakers who've been to many churches, and they've always told me that we typically bless speakers. They receive more an offering from this church than from big churches sometimes. Sometimes. They told me that. So I wouldn't understand. I mean, I said, really? How is that possible? How is it possible that anybody, a big church, don't bless you more than we bless you right here? How is that even possible? See? Because people, you know, who are walking by faith and believing God all the time for everything, all the time, are generous by nature. Because that's, you know, it's something about having a need that makes you want to help somebody else. I mean, some folk who have need just shut down and make it all about themselves. But those who understand the heart of God have a need and know that I got a need here, but I'm not going to stop being generous and helping somebody else, because that's the part of how I get my blessing. You follow me? Well, anyway, this principle of willingness was seen, and Paul used as example of the Macedonians. So the willingness is key. Finally is the renewal. And really, this last word we're going to start in on, and the whole month would be about renewal. I'm going to teach it here because it's really more about what we actually do. But look at a couple of scriptures with me here. So there's first the recognition. Then there's willingness to allow God to have his way. Third, renewal. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Renewal. Renewal. Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You've been taught by him. Say, I've been taught by Jesus. So a big part of renewal, listen to me, is doing what you've been taught. I don't find that Christians have not been taught. by Jesus, they're not doing what they've been taught to do. Right? Now, some have missed out. Many of us have actually heard, and now we have to put that into action. It says, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, there are things that we just don't need in our lives. Amen, somebody. And I dare say a few people, too. But less about people, more about yourself, I promise you. We said you put off your concerning your former conduct. Here's the crazy part is when you lose an eye, you can't see too good. Everything looked pretty good now, all right? And so you start going back to some of the former things. See, Paul wasn't saying that, the Christians are putting off some new stuff. They're putting off some old stuff. When we get in trouble, it's oftentimes we're going back and picking up something from the past. He says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt. So the old man has to be put off. The old man is the old you that is still a part of you. Even though we're born again, we love Jesus, we're saved, but we haven't forgot how to do some old stuff. Amen, somebody. We don't do it anymore. We won't do it anymore. Unless we get up against the wall and a problem and we compromise, like the thing with Nahash and Jabesh, and we give up too much and now we're desperate, and desperation makes cowards of us all. So put off this old stuff. It says, verse 23, and put on the new man. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Has to happen in the mind. You have to think it and see it in your mind first. He says, and then that you put on the new man, watch this, that was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. I was consulting with a ministry recently in the media department, like I do sometimes, and I trained a brother in there to do something, and went back to check up on him. I said, man, he called me, there's a problem with this, so I'm going to come see, show me what you've been doing, show me how you do this. He click. I said, dude, what you doing? What are you doing? I didn't train you to do that way. Yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. Now, I broke out here. Here's the document right here. Here, look at that. I always give documentation, you know, because people get silly on me like that. You didn't tell me. Can you read, bro? He knew it. He's just trying to cover up. See, the old man is good at that. He's deceitful. See, when people are stuck like that, listen, y'all, when you're stuck, you got two choices. You can go deeper, lie to cover up, or just come out with your hands up. You know what I'm saying? Come out with your hands up. I own it. I surrender. Lord, yeah. So he fessed up. You know, I saw it coming too. He knew I was right. I said, now, brother, now go back, look at this again, and go do this thing the way I trained you to do it. And he did it and worked just fine. See? So it's interesting. It is interesting how this text, this is real life. Stuff, not just theoretical, Bible, spiritual. This is stuff you can live with, live by. He says, put off that old man according to former conduct. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then put on the new man, which was created according to God. You've got a suit. You got a life designed for you by God. Amen. Don't you like stuff that just works right and fits good on you? You know what I'm saying? We've all had experience of putting on or trying on a shoe, some shoes that don't fit. You know, then there's a few things worse. Well, a lot of things worse, really, but you know what I'm saying? Man, ill-fitting shoes is a really bad deal. Look at how good it looks. Now, you calculate, okay, well, I like this. I could maybe survive a Sunday morning service with these on or something. I got to have these. But you know what's going to happen. You're going to walk in with them shoes in, walk out with tennis shoes on. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, God has designed this new man fits you. Say this, the new man, the new person that God designed for me fits me perfectly. You've got to renew your mind to see it. Many of us have never seen the new. We're just tapping into the old all the time. And look at last scripture I'm giving you is Isaiah 40. I should finish the text. It said, this new man is created according to God in right and true righteousness and holiness. So the thing is, you will never succeed trying to be righteous, trying to act holy. You'll never make it like that. If you put on this new man, he already has righteousness and holiness. See, the one God designed for you, man, you will want to be righteous and holy because it just fits you. That's a real important tip there, y'all, to walking by grace, not being religious. All right, here it is. Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. That's where we're going with this thing. We're going to a place where we're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to renew strength, which means exchange. The Greek word, Hebrew word means exchange. And we're going to be able to mount up with wings as eagles. And we're going to be able to run and even walk. We can soar, we can run and walk. All three, you know, high activity to the regular stuff. We can do all three of those without strain. Amen. Without strain. When you're renewing your mind, you want to. When you think a certain way, you have no problem doing it. You know, my wife, you know, and Michelle, my wife mainly prepared this breakfast for us, for our workers, leaders. And she wanted to do it. And I'm like, okay, honey, you know, just keep it simple, you know. I'm like, I'm talking to Pat. It's like, you know, but see, it wasn't a burden for her, though. I'm thinking, this is a burden for you. But when you love somebody and you want to do something, you do it. And you do it a certain way, the only way you know how, with excellence. You know what I'm saying? So we thank you for that, Pat. And Michelle was a big help. Amen. Give God praise. Amen. That's how I do stuff. I mean, so see, when your mind is renewed, and you got a new man on, you just do stuff differently, not because you want to prove anything. It's just, this is how God has trained you. You've been taught by the Lord. And you've come to that place, and you really can't go back to the old way. Because there's nothing in the old way that you want or need anymore. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God.